Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I am speaking with Paul Burton. He's the Managing Director and CEO of TNG, very large project up in the Northern Territory, vanadium and green hydrogen. Two things on the top of everybody's lips at the moment, but lots going on. And so I asked Paul to jump on today and give us a bit of an update to all of our subscribers out there. Paul, great to see you. You're looking very healthy over there in Perth. Borders still not open, but that's okay.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Good to see you too. Yeah, border's not open, but we're dealing with it. Yeah.
Well, you are dealing with it pretty well, because I was impressed last time we spoke. We talked about Clough. We're doing the integrated layout for the Mount Peak mine, and then I saw that they've completed the design work and they've delivered it. So, can you just expand on that? Because it was a pretty short space of time. That was a lot of work in a short space of time.
Yeah, look, we're very happy with the team that Clough appointed to put that layout out. And you're right, they did a tremendous amount of work in a relatively short time frame. But this was our brief to them to get this done as quickly as possible, because we don't want to encourage any further delays or reasons for delay. So they took a bit between the teeth and really did a fantastic job. I would say they worked very closely with our team as well. And there's a lot of experience both on both sides, and I think they knew exactly what needed to be done. And after a few iterations, we came up with a very, very good integrated linear plant layout, which can only mean one thing for us, which everything's going to be optimized, and we expect there's going to be significant capital reductions.
That's what I was going to ask you. Now that they've done that work, what's the outcome of that? What are you seeing with that? And also, from, I guess, from an investor's point of view, why is this an important part of the process?
Well, it's a very important part of the process, because from now, they will go into the value engineering side of things with SMS, the result of which will be a revised CapEx and OpEx. And that's going to be the key now for us to achieve to move into the project finance. We've got our finances all champing at the bit in the background, waiting for this revised figure now. So again, it's a very good indication from Clough that they're going to be able to do this as quickly as possible. And we have SMS obviously working with them, and KfW, we've been briefing all along with this. They're very happy with the way things are going, very supportive still, and they'll be the ones that will be providing the initial indication of project finance as soon as we've got the final CapEx figure.
And when do you think that will be, Paul? What's your time? Because I'll be honest with you, I looked at the fact that they delivered this project and I thought, wow, I love it. I love it when people get, are efficient and get things done. They didn't cut any corners, but what's the next steps?
Yeah, I agree. Look, we're very encouraged with their team and their experience, actually, in these types of complex plants and indeed in working in the Northern Territory. So it's a great fit for us to have Clough there and working very closely with SMS. So my expectation is, and we indicated in the announcement that it's going to be by the second quarter, my expectation is it's going to be end of the first quarter. That's what I'm hoping.
I love it. Under promise and over deliver. Well done.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, one of the things we are constantly hounded by is the timeframes on this project. And look, hands up, we have to admit there's some things that have been completely out of control, and we've had to deal with it. But this one is within our control, and the team at Clough and our team are well aware of the urgency to get this done, but done properly, not just get it done as just to meet a time frame. So that's my expectation, and we'll see how we achieve that.
It'll be a short Christmas for the TNG team, sounds like it. But you mentioned the word complexity. in regards to the plant? What complexity is there in the layout?
Well, we've got three products coming out of a single resource. So it's not just a one linear process where we're just producing one product at the end. It actually splits into three. So that's the that's where the complexity that I refer to. I mean, each of the individual streams is a very well understood process plant flow through. But yeah, that's the complexity side that I mentioned.
Yeah. Go in one in and come out with three different products. Got
yeah. Yeah, instead of having three mines, we've got one with the three products. So.
Love it, love it. Now, you've recently done a capital raise. You've raised 12.5 mil. I've got to ask this question to you, Paul. The raising was done at 9 cents. A little bit of downward pressure on the share price. Do you think the market's not doesn't fully understand how much work has been done, or what's the reason, do you think, behind that?
Well, first of all, Kerry, yes, we had a good capital raise, well supported. Mm. The price was a bit cheaper than we wanted, but that was what the advisors indicated was going to be achievable, because we'd had quite a good increase in the share price the preceding weeks. And there's a reason why then that they try to have a bit of a higher discount for to encourage investors in. However, timing couldn't have been worse for the ASIC to raid Creso Pharma and Everblue's offices. Everblue, one of the institutions or groups that were involved in the capital raise, and unfortunately, the AFR article that briefed this raid mentioned TNG because they were part of one of the recent capital raises. So before even the new shares had been issued, there was significant downward pressure on our share price. We're not really sure why that occurred so much. But
Paul, there was no connection though between, so ASIC raided Everblue was to do with Creso Pharma. Why were you even mentioned in the AFR?
Simply because we were a very recent, Everblue were a very recent participant in the capital raising that we'd done.
Right.
So for whatever reason they mentioned that, I don't know why, but it drew a line between us and them, which was unfortunate. And I think people may have thought that there was some issue, but I can assure you and state now that there is absolutely no issue. We've had no contact from any of the authorities on this, and it was a very, very smooth capital raising managed by Canaccord. And what's going on with Everblue, particularly I think with their chairman and Creso Pharma, is perhaps what I see today in the papers is potentially the issue, has no bearing on TNG at all. We're proceeding and there's no issues at all.
So that's where you think the pressure might have come. So, all right, to my subscribers out there, nothing to see, no connection, let it go, move on, company's looking good, lots of work being done, and it was just a stupid mention in the AFR, which has absolutely no correlation to what these guys are doing. How's that for? Is that a nice little summary there, Paul?
Perfect summary, Kerry. And yeah, could just add that, look, it creates a perfect buying opportunity for people because it was such a dramatic drop. And so we're seeing some recovery now. And yeah, I think it's it should only be upwards from here.
Don't read the mainstream media, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is. Paul, you've got the vanadium redox and the green hydrogen projects. Can you give us an update on that while I've got you on Zoom?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are the other two pillars that we're building in the company. We've got the main project, and that's proceeding, as we say, as rapidly as possible. But we have been proceeding and progressing rapidly with the green hydrogen with the Northern Territory government. We've had good discussions with them on the availability of land and their plans for a green hydrogen hub in the Northern Territory, which this fits in perfectly. There is available funding. We're very excited about what potential can come along. And all I can say without revealing too much, that there is some very positive news flow we expect to come as a result of this. The Malaysian high sustained system that we're we will have the sole rights to for the country is a very exciting system, and we are in the process now of moving into the scope for having that constructed on the available land in Darwin, and connecting it through to a green source of energy.
Just so explain what the Malaysians have got for those that don't understand, and remind those that may have a bit of an understanding. Just expand a little bit on that, if you could.
And the Malaysian group is called Age.
Sorry, and how did you get the exclusivity from them?
Yeah, the Malaysian group, AGV, approached us earlier in the year because of a connection that I actually have with one of their directors through previous work that we've done in the past. And they were very interested in Australia, in particular Darwin, because we have a lot higher potential for green energy, mainly through the sun, compared to Malaysia here. And they have offtakes in place with a number of Asian countries. Their high sustain system, which they've trademarked, and which we actually have trademarked here in Australia as well now, so we own that name in Australia, is an electrolyzer, basically for taking the hydrogen out of water. Now the green part comes where the green has a green source of power to do that. So it's effectively it's a well understood way of producing hydrogen. They use German technology through Siemens and through some other companies, and they're quite advanced. And we are very, very happy that we've got the opportunity to partner with them. This will be a partnership. We're moving into the scope of the joint venture now, as we've announced recently. And the next stage is to scope out the actual size of the plant and link it in with a green source of power, both of which we're very close to achieving.
Two very different projects, I guess, and there's a lot of work being done at Mount Peak. How do you manage it? How do you juggle the two?
Well, the green hydrogen is actually getting quite big, so that we will see that being self-funded through various grants availability as well, and we may well have to expand our team on to drive that. So we don't the focus won't change from Mount Peak. The reason that we want to rapidly produce the green hydrogen, A, because it's obviously very important. Nationally as well, and a very good one for TNG to be involved with. But look, we want to have a green source of energy down at the Mount Peak mine site itself. So as soon as we get this going, the better, and we can integrate that into our plant and processes down at the mine site. In a similar way, we're doing the vanadium redox batteries. We have the agreement with V-Flow in Singapore. We've presented to the Northern Territory governments in a big way the potential and the benefits and the rollout of these batteries could mean for the communities, for example, all spread out through the territory. They love it. They're very much on board. We have a potential good news flow coming through from there as well. There's funding available, and we produced our own electrolytes. We ourselves are quite advanced in what we can do with this. We're now having the plan ahead is to get a battery sent over from Singapore. We'll have a showcase battery. We'll be integrated into one of the microgrids in Darwin, and we can then scale it up from there and pick appropriate communities to start rolling it out. That's the plan, and we can get strong backing from the Northern Territory government for just this. They're very, very keen on it. And additionally, you need a source of storage for any green hydrogen production. So the green energy production is going to be from solar or wind.
Right.
It's got to be stored somewhere to really balance out the power source. So this is where the vanadium redox batteries fit into this whole picture. It's an integral part of the green energy, green hydrogen production, and certainly power production at a mine site as well.
Paul, would TNG look at potentially spinning this off into a separate company in the future? Because they're two big projects.
If it made sense to do that, obviously, if it created extra value for shareholders, we would do that. They have the potential, as you rightly say, to do that. That's why we're building them up as separate pillars within from a business case for the company. And it sits under one of our subsidiaries called TNG Energy that we created a few years ago now. It was initially for looking at geothermal energy a few years ago. I was very, very keen on that. But it sits in there, and there's the potential, yes, indeed, for these to be spun off as and when there's a real commercial case for it.
Well, it sounds like the Northern Territory government are very, very keen on making sure that TNG ticks those boxes, gets Mount Peak underway, gets this green hydrogen underway as well. You've got the connections, as you said earlier, with not just Malaysia, but with Singapore on the redox. What is it? The vanadium redox flow batteries, as well as the green hydrogen. So lots going on and lots of good news. And as you said before, the pressure on the share price, actually, there's nothing behind it, ladies and gentlemen. So it is a very good time to sit up and take notes. But Paul, it would be remiss of me not to ask for the three reasons you think now is a good time for investors to be taking notice of TNG.
Well, share price is cheap. There's one, but not to be flippant. Look, the don't underestimate the value and the interest is going to be in the green hydrogen, high sustain, and the vanadium redox batteries. So I think there's a very good exposure to those two very topical things in the news at the moment. In addition, look, the whole project revolves around the critical minerals. We've got the vanadium. It's one of the largest vanadium projects in the country. So, and look, as I mentioned, I think in our last discussion, the disconnect between our market cap and the NPV of the project. And indeed, these, if you add into the potential, when we do the figures on the value of the vanadium redox battery business and all the green hydrogen business, the NPVs on those are quite mind-boggling too. We look at those, the companies.
Can you just mention any of those numbers briefly now?
No, I can't.
Tried, ladies and gentlemen.
Only in house, Kerry, at the moment.
Will you come back and talk to me when you can?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the ASX will be on to me for sure. Because we haven't released anything. So I can't. Yeah. But don't underestimate that. So the market cap of the company has to increase to make it reasonable that these projects are going to get into reality. So the disconnect there has to be resolved. Okay. And the way to do that is for us to complete the work we're doing now, see the areas of the finance coming in, and then once people see that, the share price is going to move.
I totally agree. I think it is, you know, that it's that funding model, isn't it? It's always like, well, it's such a big project. Your vanadium project is massive. So I think that's potentially what people might be looking for as well. Paul Burton from TNG, well done. Congratulations. Good to hear that things are progressing along as fast or even faster than I would have thought before. We look forward to the news flow in 2022. In the meantime, all the best. Have a Merry Christmas now that we're almost in December. We'll speak to you early next year.
Thanks very much, Kerry. You too. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.